No, I'm not like whistling show tunes and like, it's like Cinderella-esque, when I'm cleaning. But it's like that's not the type of cheer we're requiring either. The cheerfulness is the, I'm not resenting my kids for making a mess or for not knowing how to clean it up properly or something if they were younger, not resenting that I have to do it over and over again. When I think about it, I can find joy in the fact that I have people to take care of. And that's great that I have a family. I'm not living alone. My house would be super clean if I was living by myself, but is that the goal? No, obviously not.
Welcome to the Simplified Organization Podcast, 15-minute conversations with real moms about managing home and family life cheerfully and competently. We can actually enjoy housework and love being homemakers when we focus on truth and work with gratitude. I'm Misty Winkler, author of the book Simplified Organization, Learn to Love What Must Be Done, and I run Convivial Circle, a community helping women to excel at homemaking and do life cheerfully. And today I have part two of my conversation with Convivial Circle's community manager, Stephanie Mons. Stephanie lives in Texas with her husband and three kids. One is a homeschool graduate in college now, and Stephanie is still homeschooling her two sons. And in the nooks and crannies of her day, she guides conversations and offers help and direction and insight in Convivial Circle, making sure that everyone is pointed in the right direction, connected with the right resources. I definitely could not do Convivial Circle without Stephanie. And today we hopped on a call to talk about Sweep and Smile, one of our most popular programs, and how it's different than downloading someone else's particular housework checklist. If you've ever tried to download a checklist and work it and found that it just doesn't stick, there's a reason for that. And we're going to talk about how to approach housework with a different attitude and set of routines. So grab a basket of laundry to fold while you listen and let's dig in. So what would you say for yourself, but then also from your experience in helping so many other ladies through the material, in the difference between just kind of tackling house projects or cleaning in either a checklist kind of way, that mentality where I'm like, I'm going to download this cleaning checklist and let that tell me what to do, or what I tended to do before putting together my routines was just like, look around and like, I don't know, today I'm just going to do whatever is bothering me the most. And it just kind of scattershot approach versus the small, doable routines, figuring out the things that actually matter and repeating those day by day or week by week too. But
Yeah. Because I think those extremes, they tend to not work because of course, if it's like super checklisty, it's like, I don't have the time to do all of this. Like I once peeked into Fly Lady, her stuff. And I was just like, why do I have to clean my sink? This is dumb. And I started to see like the list, like getting longer. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that every day. I am not. This is just silly. So I walked away after like looking at her stuff for like an hour. I'm like, that's obviously not for me. Right. So that's the one side of perfectionism. I can't do it all. I'm supposed to do all these things. It's not going to work out, so I'm not going to try. And then on the other side, if you get too complacent and you're trying to do like a scattershot approach, it's like, well, now you just get used to it, right? Mm. Like, we all lived for the last month with their dirty toilet. We will live another 3 days till I get the motivation to do it, or another month, right? Until we have company coming over or an embarrassing situation where we have to clean the toilet, right? And so working with Sweep and Smile and starting to build basic routines, I think helps you to put on a different set of glasses than the scattershot one. Like you start noticing things like, you know what, that would really be helpful. And then you do it. And then you think to yourself, you know what, maybe I'll come back and look at that again, every Friday or something. And maybe you don't even need to clean whatever it is every Friday. It doesn't need to be taken care of. But you're like, well, I looked at it and I verified that it's still good to go, right? And I Maybe it'll need to be taken care of next week. So it's like you can start to think about what your own home needs because the checklist isn't telling you what to do, but you're also not ignoring it until you feel embarrassed, right? So, because the cleaning is easier when it's not super disgusting, right? Like,
yes.
If you clean the toilet before all the mold and raw stains are on it, it's like it's way easier. So you get to that point, you're like, oh, well, that looks a little bit dirty. It'll only take me 2 seconds to clean it, right? This is why a lot of people, they have a routine where they have a word like a swish, like swish the bathroom, whatever. And they really just take like a rag and they're just doing the bathroom counter, right? And that's like one of their things, because if you wipe the counter every day, it takes 2 seconds and it's really clean. But if you wait until you have a week's worth of children's toothpaste all over it, it will take longer than 2 seconds and you won't want to do it and you'll keep putting it off. So you can figure out your routines and think about like, okay, well, if I need to do this, how can I fit that in with routines I already have, right? Or how can I build a new routine around this thing instead of being a slave to a checklist or, you know, putting blinders on half the time? Because you don't want to do, that's why you do the scattershot approach, because it's like, I don't want to do it, so I'm just going to wait until it's really bad, right? Like, that's what's really going on. Like, I just don't want to do it. So we're trying to avoid those two extremes so that the house can stay, you know, reasonably clean. Like, we're not even going pristine here. There's something reasonably clean. Are you going to be embarrassed if somebody just shows up at your house? Okay, that's what we're going for. Like, because if they do show up, then they should expect some mess, because like, they came unannounced. So there's probably going to be some mess around. They know I'm here making a mess with children. I'm homeschooling. That's why they showed up, right? So they can't walk in and expect like this Martha Stewart perfect home, but I don't want them to walk in and be, you know, tripping on 3 weeks worth of mail at the door or something, right? Like, this is a reasonable expectations that we could have for our home's cleanliness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that a lot of the ladies in our community, and this was myself as well, is started from that perspective of doing the cleaning that I felt like, and that was not something that was working. And so that's why in Sweep and Smile, it's the smile part as well as the sweeping part. It's not just a checklist or even just a figure out your cleaning plan. It's also, well, let's talk about why you don't want to. Let's talk about the feelings about your house as you're doing the work, and like, what's the point of it all? And we can actually learn to love what must be done, even when it comes to toilets and the dusting and the different things. We can change our attitude about those tasks even while we're doing them or before we've done them, and not just like, oh, I'll feel better about it after I've done all the things. That's like a after effect. It's like, no, that is a part of the motivation, but it's a part that we need to actually work on. It's not going to be automatic.
Right. Yeah. So talking about like the attitude for Sweep and Smile, I think the biggest thing for me, like, so when I started with the EHAP and going through Sweep and Smile, is to recognize that your work is going to be undone. Mm-hmm. Just accept that now, and you will be so much happier, because, you know, if you expect that you're going to clean your house and it's going to be clean for the rest of the day, the rest of the week, whatever it is, it's like, you know what, just forget it. We're trying to bring it back to, you know, like a square one, and then it'll happen again. And then we bring it back down and it'll happen again. And so to accept that that is life and that it's not you doing anything wrong, that's making you have to keep cleaning it. You know, it's like, then that's okay, right? And I know for me, when my kids were younger, I did a lot of the, well, they're just going to pull out the blocks again. It's just going to be a huge old mess. Why am I even bothering putting the books away? They rip them out every day, right? And that was before I found your stuff and was e-happing. And so I just kind of lived with way too many toys on the floor at that point. But now I would be like, you know what? We will put the stuff away, you know, and maybe have less toys out. That might have been the solution. But to recognize it's not wrong if the kids pull out the books, if they're reading the books every day, and then we're just going to put them away at night so that nobody trips on them. You know, the books can stay nicer if you actually keep putting them away, right? Instead of leaving them to get even more scattered across the floor. But then to recognize, like, you know, I have reset the house so that now we can keep living in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, That's the whole point. So I have in my head like the word reset. So like when we clean up at night, I call it our evening reset, because now we can do life again. Instead of having to do life on top of yesterday's mess or last week's mess, it's now we get to do life in a, you know, tidied, picked up place. And it's a lot easier. It's a lot, you know, nicer feeling, right? To get to wake up and have a home that's like still pretty clean from last night's, you know, cleanup, because all the homeschool books aren't out yet. But, you know, that's just a fact of life. And to then, you know, and not that I go around being like super cheerful when I'm cleaning, right? Because I will be the first one to admit, no, I'm not like whistling show tunes and like, you know, it's like Cinderella-esque, you know, when I'm cleaning. But it's like, that's not the type of cheer we're requiring either. The cheerfulness is the, you know, I'm not resenting my kids for making a mess or for not knowing how to clean it up properly or something if they were younger, not resenting that I have to do it over and over again. So the cheer is, this is my job. And when I think about it, I can find joy in the fact that I have people to take care of. And that's great that I have a family. I'm not living alone. My house would be super clean if I was living by myself. But is that the goal? No, obviously not. So we have families and we can be thankful for them, not necessarily the messes they make, but you know, so yeah, it's, so for me, it's not necessarily, like I said, the whistling cheerfulness, but it's like, you know what, I just clean up, this is what we do, and I don't get upset or frustrated or annoyed with it all the time. It's like, this is how we live, this is what we do, we clean up every day, and that's it. See, that's the amount of cheer I have when I'm cleaning.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. And we can take it down, like just that internal drama that we can stir up over the work being undone or thinking that our job is for it to stay clean. And it's like, no, if we just recognize that we are helping our home and our family function by managing the stuff, we can be satisfied in the work, even when we have to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, it's like we never expect to make a meal and then have it sit there and then we never have to cook again. But for some reason, we think with cleaning, how dare we have to do it again? You know, like, oh, it's so awful. But it's just like cooking, you know, and everybody knows laundry, you know, clothes get dirty, you got to wash them. It's the same with everything in the house. It just has to keep being redone. That's how living works. We're doing the same things over and over again. And, you know, I bet actually, if you ask people who have regular 9-to-5 jobs, they would say, I do the same thing over and over again. I wake up, go to work, I check my email, I have meetings, I work on a spreadsheet. Like, whether you're at a regular job or you're at home, you're doing the same things over and over again. So it's just time. And sometimes those things feel mundane, right? I'm putting numbers in a spreadsheet. I used to do some data entry when I was a secretary. It's like, I'm just sitting there putting in a bunch of numbers for things. It's like, yes, it was extremely repetitive work to put this in. And it was not difficult at all. It was rather brainless for most of the time. And it's like, well, that's sometimes what the job entails, doing something over and over again that doesn't feel like you've made progress, because like I put the data in and not somewhere in the computer, right? I'm like seeing it, I'm looking at the database. I didn't do anything cool with it. That was what my bosses did. They took all of that information and they were making projects. And I was just the one putting in, you know, they were called cycle file keys. So I'm like, I don't know what that would translate to, but it's like everything had a number. We were tracking everything on campus, carpeting, lighting, all sorts of things. So then they were taking those and they were turning them into projects. So it's like, so I didn't even see the fruits of my labor. It's like, well, here I go, type, type, type. So it's the same thing. Work outside the home, work inside the home. It can feel repetitive. It can feel like, why am I doing this again? But it really is just a mindset shift in the home, right? Like we've all just seen the Martha Stewart stuff or the Real Simple magazine, like, oh, this is what my house should look like that. It's like, that's not a real house. I don't know what picture they took, but it was not anybody's real house. You know, they kicked them out for 24 hours or something to get it to look like that. I don't know what they did, or it's in a studio. So just forget it. All that stuff in the magazine, it's not even anybody's real house. So just forget it.
Not the standard.
Exactly. Don't try to do that standard. It's the perfectionism, you'll give up. So recognize that that won't be your home, but you're going to have to do the same things over and over again, and that's okay. And then we can just, you know, keep living, right? That's the whole point of like doing the little bits of cleanup and having our little routines, is that then in between, we get to actually live. We can homeschool, we can cook meals for our family, we can go places and have fun, and, you know, live with our people.
So instead of a particular long checklist of chores that you should be doing, come join us in Sweep and Smile inside Convivial Circle, where Stephanie and I will walk you through the process personally, figuring out what routines your home and your family actually needs. We'll get to the core of what will keep your home functional without a bunch of busy work or unrealistic expectations. We will be kicking off Sweep and Smile this week with a workshop on April 10th, and the first assignment email will go out April 12th. So for live personal help working through this course, which is our most popular course inside membership, join now. You can find a link in the description below or go to simplyconvivial.com/sweep. That's simplyconvivial.com/sweep to learn more about the Sweep and Smile program and to enroll today. We will help you learn how to repent, rejoice, repeat, even with your house chores.